Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we share with you our hearts and our fears and our doubts and our desires. Father, we also want to make sure that we lift you up, we praise you, we exalt you to where you need to be. Father, I just thank you for what is taking place so far today. Father, I just hope that people will be blessed and receive what it is you have for us, Father, where there's lessons to be learned. There's blessings to be felt and hearts to be lifted and spirits to be raised and challenges to be accepted and make it part of who we are. Father, we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to kind of go through this kind of quick today. I'm running a little bit behind it. You know, when we see a day like today, we kind of forget about situations just a couple of weeks ago where that tornado went through Canton. You know, a lot of people were killed, a lot of homes destroyed, a lot of property ruined. And, you know, when we think about it's just been a little over a year since the tornado that went through Rowlett, so close to Edith's house, and so close to my work. Many times when I'm driving by work, I can still see the devastation that tornado caused. Understand this, when a natural disaster happens like that, it's not just physical and emotional problems. We can have spiritual problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can have those because when the sun is shining and the weather is like today, many people don't give God credit for any of that.
No.
Right. But a disaster, you know, I'm in the insurance business. When a natural disaster happens, do you know what they call that?
What?
They call it an act of God. All these things that all the houses that are destroyed, cars, lives taken, they're all in the insurance business and other places too. They say this is an act of God. So when we hear that, we naturally ask all the W questions, like, where were you, God, when this happened? Why, God, did you let this happen? What kind of God are you that can allow this to happen, you know? Listen, we can deal with rape and murder and all these things because we look at that and we say, well, that's what people do. People are evil. And we know how evil people are, so we can say that's what people do. But when a natural disaster happens, people aren't involved in it. They don't cause it. All we can do is seem to look at God. How did this happen? That's the only place we can look. Let me remind you that our trust in God is based on His promises, not our circumstances. God's promises to us are good regardless of what our circumstances are. So in the scripture verse I was going to read today, I'm going to kind of talk over it, through it. It kind of describes the world when it began, the world today, and the world that's going to be in the future. If you're going to, our scripture verse was in Romans 8. But before you got into Romans 8, you needed to go back to Genesis, where it talks about how God just spoke the world into existence. He just spoke it.
Amen.
And it was good. God said 6 times, 6 different times in Genesis 1, God looked at what he had created and he said it was good. You need to understand something. God's good is perfect.
Right.
When God says something good, there's no room for improvement.
No.
It's perfect. When God created the world, the streams and rivers were crystal clear. The air was so clean when you breathed it in, it was a sweet smell. With no need for weathermen because the weather was perfect. The wind was just a gentle, cool breeze. The rain was just a soft mist. Never too hot during the day and too cold at night. It was perfect. God created a perfect world. And then on top of that, He created 2 perfect people. Adam and Eve were the first perfect couple. They are the first and only perfect marriage. Imagine this. Adam never had to hear Eve say, "You know, I could have married somebody else." Never heard of that. Eve never had to hear Adam say, "How come you can't cook like my mama cooked?" Never heard that because they were perfect. God created them perfect. It was a perfect world. There's no need to cage the animals. They weren't dangerous to themselves or to humans. Dogs played with cats. The lion laid with the lamb. And if it was perfect, that means there was no mosquitoes there. I can tell you that. I know, because once the mosquitoes get there, it's not perfect anymore. Adam and Eve was given dominion over all the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea. Whatever they told them to do, they did. It was perfect. It was a paradise. It was literally heaven on earth.
Amen.
So what happened? What happened is sin corrupted this perfect world. You know all the story about Adam and Eve and how God told them, "You can do whatever you want, just don't do this one thing." And they did that one thing that God forbid them to do, and no longer were they perfect. Not only were they not perfect, No longer was the earth perfect. Not only were they cursed, so was the world. Why was the world cursed? Let me tell you. The worst thing that could have been for Adam and Eve after they had become no longer perfect was for them to live in a perfect world. Why? Because if imperfect people live in a perfect world, they won't see a need for God. So nature became cursed, just like men had been cursed. God said in Genesis, the third chapter, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Ever since Adam and Eve fell from grace, we've had to battle with this earth that God created perfect. We have to tend the gardens. Roses weren't meant to have thorns. Our fields weren't meant to have weeds. But because of the sin, now the world is cursed too. We have this bondage of sin in our lives, and so the world is in bondage to sorrow and disaster the same way. But there's good news for us. Those of us who know God, who love God, who trust God, will eventually live happily ever after, and so will this world.
Amen.
Deep down inside of us, I think we really know that God is in control. Even people who don't claim Christ as their Savior, when they are faced with a disaster, a life-threatening disaster, who do they cry out to? They cry out to God to save them, because nobody else can. Listen, God is in control. He has always been in control.
Amen.
Who sent the plagues to Egypt and the hail and the darkness that drove a nation to its knees? Who did that? When the sun had to stand still so Joshua could win a battle, who did that? Who sealed the heavens during the time of Elijah and stopped the rain? Who was it that caused that storm to come up on the sea in the boat that Jonah was in so they would throw him overboard? Who is it that did all that? That was God. God can control the universe. He controlled it then. He can control it now, and He will control it in the future. God is going to create, the Bible says, a new heaven and a new earth. The desert is going to blossom like a rose, and it says the lion will lay down with the lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Listen, when God created this world, it was a good creation, a perfect creation.
Amen.
The world today, it says, I would have read in Romans 8, it would have said that this world is groaning. This is a groaning world now. It's a world affected by sin because of what man has done. But one day, this is going to be a glorious creation because God is going to create a new earth.
Amen.
The question is still asked. Why does God allow seemingly innocent people to die at the hands of, looks like just a random natural disaster?
I believe he's the one that's the one that did it and gives us the choice.
I don't know the answer to that question. And you know what? The truth is, nobody knows. Nobody knows why bad things happen to good people or to bad people. You know, these random things that they're hard to understand, but I do know this, that God is in control. I do know this, that there are some lessons that we can learn from these natural disasters. First of all, these natural disasters remind us that things are just temporary. The things of this life are just temporary. They can be taken just like that. We can see how fragile life really is. And because of these natural disasters, sometimes they remind us what's really valuable. How many times have you seen and watched somebody who had gone through a hurricane, an earthquake, a tornado, whatever? Everything they've had is lost, but their family is safe. And that's all that was really important. That's what matters. People matter. Lives matter. See, these natural disasters can show us how important life and our loved ones really are. They're more important than anything that we have.
Amen.
I think these natural disasters remind us that judgment is coming. And when it does, we better be ready. God wants us to know that we have to be thankful to Him in the good times, and we better trust Him in the bad times. It says in Job 2:10, shall we accept the good from God but not trouble? So often we want just the good things from God. We have to trust God in all things, not just the good times, but trust God in the bad times. And then when the good times are good, thank God for them. That's when we have days like this, we should be saying, thank you, God, for this beautiful day.
Thank you, Lord.
This day, this beautiful day, is a day you create. That out there today is an act of God. Those disasters are not acts of God. Those are because of the sin that we brought into His perfect world. Those aren't acts of God. These days are acts of God. Finally, we need to, when we look at natural disasters, those bad things that happen, we need to compare them to the cross. The suffering that Jesus had, the humiliation, the beatings, The betrayals. All these things are so much worse. But we can take this cross, and when we compare these natural disasters to this cross, we can see, we can understand that no matter how bad it is, God is still in control and He's going to do something good for us.
Amen.
Out of these bad situations.
Amen.
He's going to honor us if we will trust Him, believe in Him, and honor Him. You know, there are so many questions that we don't have the answers to, and I'm never going to stand up here and tell you that I've got all the answers, because if anybody tells you they have all the answers, they don't. There are things that happen that I don't understand. And it's hard when you go and you're praying with a family who had just lost a child. You don't have good answers for them. Just all you can do is pray for them and say, keep trusting God. Keep believing in God. Don't go further away from God. Go closer to God. And one day we will understand. God understands. God's in control. He knows. One day we too. I just ask that as you go through things that you're struggling with in your life now, don't determine how much you trust in God by the circumstances that you're in. Trust in God no matter what your circumstances. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, there is so much we don't understand. Father, we know that these things that they call acts of God, these tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and floods, earthquakes, Father, we know that those aren't acts of you, Father. Those aren't what you're doing. But Father, you can make something good out of that, because that's how good you are. Father, I just pray that as we go through our lives and we come into circumstances that we don't understand and we don't know the answers to questions, Father, that we'll trust you on that. It's not long to look for answers, Father. We should always be in your scriptures, studying and praying and asking you to speak to us and help us understand some of the things that we have, that we don't understand. And Father, you're going to show us something. But Father, we thank God for today. Our future world is our eternity with you. That's when things will be perfect again, Father. Like you created it to be. The perfect world. Father, you can look at it and say it's good. Because your good is perfect. Father, thank you for this group of people here today. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with things today, Father. Father, I just speak anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father, to fill them up and Father, that they will trust in you, believe in you, turn these problems over to you, Father. Father, to just keep praising you and worshiping you, and loving you because you always love us regardless of our circumstances. Father, thank you that you're going to heal our wounds. You're going to lift our spirits. You're going to answer our prayers. You're going to Bless us in all things, Father, if we will just trust in you. Father, I speak that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll have just a minute of an invitation if God